So we're joined today by Jonathan Strauss. Jonathan is a longtime refugee rights activist and a member of the Socialist Alliance. Now, we have Jonathan on the line to actually talk about a bit about this response to a court decision that was recently made on indefinite detention. And in fact, this has been there's been a bit of a push from the Liberal Party and the Dutton government around racism. And of course, Jonathan has recently wrote an article on opposing Labor's Me Too response to court to this court decision on indefinite detention. Good morning, Jonathan.
Hi, how are you?
So I guess the first question to kind of start off with Jonathan, especially for giving a bit of our listeners a bit of a background, there was a High Court decision on November 8th. It ruled that indefinite detention is unlawful. You know, what can you tell us about the implications of this decision for refugee rights?
Oh, look, I guess the basics of it is that it does extend that really basic liberal democratic right that you can't be detained without reason, you can't be detained without end. To non-citizens. On that note, of course, I would say one basic thing that only applies in Australia, and of course, Australia is infamous for its offshore detention scheme, which is precisely designed to get around the Australian legal system. So that we should always remember that when we're discussing this, it doesn't apply to the people who are taken offshore by the Australian government and placed sort of operating extraterritorially in that sense. It's not just that question of a sort of right in the abstract. I mean, prison is very harmful. Detention is very harmful. He actually had, in 2020, the former Attorney General Department figure had actually done this report for immigration saying that, in fact, this was criminalising the immigration detainees to see them in prison for so long. And we're talking, in immigration detention for so long, we're talking up to 13 years in one case. Some have never actually been convicted of anything among the group of who have now been released from immigration detention. Others that have been fined, and yes, some had served prison sentences, and they had completed their prison sentences. Normally, if you're an Australian citizen, all that happens is you go back into the community. You do attempt to live out your life after that. I think one of the things that's very unsurprising is the reports of five have been re-detained. Decriminalisation, basically, the reality of that is that, that what's called recidivism, people committing offences again, is very common. And that's because that's the impact of actually running the criminal justice system as is done today. And there's no doubt, too, I think, that in fact, as well, I think we need to discuss the new laws that have been introduced, but also the politics behind that. But there's no doubt, I think, that in fact the 140 or so who are now out of immigration detention, 20 actually were out before this decision. This is one of the things that's actually being hidden. 21 people actually were in community detention, but not in the immigration detention centres before this decision. But they're under surveillance. Clearly, and the police are following them up. They're also following up past the arrest warrants and elsewhere and so on. But this is a very normal situation in practice.
Yeah. So I want to kind of jump into the next kind of important question. And I think one of the most kind of outrageous things that has kind of painted this kind of this decision by the High Court, which I think, to be frank, I actually think this is actually a step forward in terms of refugee rights. I think that, refugees who have experienced indefinite detention have argued continuously that it constitutes, I guess, a form of torture. And of course, on the other sort of issues of law and order and the justice system, I think that the political response of while the Liberal Party has been worse, the Labor Party have not been that much better. And I guess what can you tell us about the political response of both major parties to this High Court decision? And can you tell us about some of the new laws that the Labor Party has put forward in response to the Liberal Party?
Yeah, I've even taken this order and that order. And the thing is to always start from recognising that the people who were detained, as I said, for up to 13 years, are also community members and their rights should be recognised and their safety should be recognised, which it wasn't being under the existing regime. Any response to that has to be proportionate to and take account of those rights, which, of course, is they're the ones being most immediately and heavily impacted by this, the detention regime that's been in place. Look, you know, what was extraordinary is, you know, Dutton almost, I mean, he played his normal role. He's an ex-cop. He's in a position because that's sort of who he is. And it's sort of the kind of person they want leading the Liberals at this point. I mean, you know, we draw your political conclusions from that, if you will. But, you know, he was, of course, saying regardless of any legal or other humanitarian or human rights concern, lock them all up again. But, of course, what we did see was a Me Too response. In fact, Catherine King said that she ought to Claire O'Neill, who's the Home Affairs Minister, she was saying again she would also like to see them all in detention again. And while in fact the Labor Party was unable to do that, they did basically do whatever they could. They went to Dutton and said, what amendments would you like to make? And Dutton basically asked for whatever he thought he could get away with. And so we actually saw two tranches of laws which basically have re-punished those who've been released. And remember I said that some of them have never actually been convicted of anything. Some are simply held for purportedly being a bad character, according to a ministerial decision. Others certainly do have past criminal offences, and there's no doubt about that. There was firstly the visa law. Visa laws were used to impose reporting requirements, electronic monitoring, curfews, movement and contact restrictions well beyond the norms for people who would have been released from prison. So, you know, even though some, as I said, some of these people never convicted an offence, this is an administrative, it was an administrative detention. And also importantly, this breaches were criminalised with a minimum sentence of 1 year and up to 5 years. And then just this last week, we saw the second thing, which was these preventative detention laws, which they had to wait to see what the High Court said, because obviously the High Court's decision is specifically related to the question of detention. The High Court actually, the High Court, to my reading, sort of said the laws that would apply to other people apply to these people as well. And then, of course, there are some restrictive laws related to those who've been convicted of crimes such as paedophilia. But, you know, and perhaps in certain instances, there are instances where it's reasonable to consider that someone perhaps might actually reoffend. So, you know, and it's, that's an issue. But really, in fact, these laws have gone beyond that, and they're very targeted against a group of people who've been subject already to a double punishment. First, any normal criminal punishment, and then secondly, indefinite detention under the immigration regime. As I said, even if you haven't been convicted, it's simply viewed to be a bad character by the minister and the government.
Yeah, you want to go on?
Well, hello, Jonathan. I've admired your work over a very long time. I'm Rob. We've never met in person. Such a difficult issue in Australia. It's so hard to get support for refugees. Other things like same-sex marriage and even indigenous rights, you know, are a lot easier to get. But refugees, it's so hard to convince a lot of people. I just wanted to say, though, on refugees, the Liberal Party and the Labor Party are just Tweedledee and Tweedledum, have been for decades and decades. Why they are in lockstep over this, well, is another thing to be discussed at a later time. But there's something to be said, because you've been mentioning, Jonathan, about the legal challenges in the High Court. There's something to be said for them, because if we do get a good result, it does provide encouragement, definitely does. But in the end, the only thing that can really improve the lot of refugees is, two things really, a mass protest in support, which, like I said before, is not easy to get. And then, of course, there's the resistance of the refugees themselves. In detention, they sometimes really do hit back, and that's extremely inspiring.
Yeah, I think those comments are quite insightful. I do think we can really look at the question of how white Australia is such an integral part of the formation of the Australian state and how it operates. I mean, Bruce Bichani sort of discussed this as well as and how it relates to the sort of refugee, anti-refugee regime of one successive Australian governments as one one set of responses, as the modern form of white Australia. I think you're right. I mean, I think there's absolutely no doubt, and it does actually, can actually potentially improve people's lives. We should use the legal system where we can, but we also, I would say, socialists especially, we would want to understand how this works out politically. And you can sort of see, you know, you have a legal win, and then politically they bite back. And to some extent, the legal system, fundamentally and ultimately, the legal system is going to be subject to the way politics is playing out and who holds power. At the moment, we have a situation where everyone is being attempted to be painted as criminals. Refugees are being painted as criminals. And that, of course, starts with the discussion of people as being so-called illegals, whereas it actually is absolutely a right to come to Australia and to claim asylum. This is so much about the question of really changing, you know, putting this as, if you like, the story. If you like the story that is told about refugees in Australia, that's one way, I guess, to think about it. And the alternative, which is to build a movement to change power, in particular about that, and probably, to be honest, more generally in this country. And as you said, I think that, the sub-clause of that is, and the importance of seeing the refugees and the importance of refugees themselves is being involved in that and working alongside them. I think there's probably there's some stuff to deal with from the past, and there's some future issues that really, through my involvement movement, we've sort of identified as some key questions to deal with. The first thing I think, and people should forget that in this context, is those who've been detained offshore. We still have about 60 to 70, I think about 60 people in PNG, who are the people who were detained at Manus and later were moved to Port Moresby. Most of them do not have any pathway to settlement. The Australian government gave PNG a small amount, really quite a small amount of money to start with, and PNG is now pointing out really that funding has run out and that this is Australia's responsibility, the Australian government's responsibility, and in fact, those refugees should be brought to Australia and should be settled in short order, to be honest, from their point of view, their rights. We have some 10,000 or so refugees who are here. They lack work rights in many cases. I mean, that's going to lead to people possibly having engaged in criminal activity just to survive. This is the so-called fast-track system, which in fact is incredibly slow. And there's a lot of campaigning developing. People should look out for actions in Canberra and all around the country to support the 10,000 or so people who have been here basically 10 years or more and don't yet have any kind of pathway to permanent visas and settlement. And the other thing is basically the whole regime that people are unable to come here and claim asylum as we supposedly signed up for under the Refugee Convention. That's a basic issue. And there's two key sort of areas that's operating. One is the refugees who are in Indonesia and are basically banned from seeking settlement in Australia. And secondly, of course, the many, many people in Afghanistan and Pakistan, often those who are involved with the attempt by the Australian state to sort of impose its regime in Afghanistan. In a sense, there is a sort of immediate responsibility there on the part of the Australian government because certainly the Taliban is a repressive regime as well. They need emergency visas. They need emergency refugee settlement. So those are sort of, I guess, some of the sort of angles of attack to try to move the story in a very different direction and to win that majority to change power on this question.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. It's also Chloe here on the line. Hey. So I just wanted to talk a bit about some of the racism. And the established media has had a terrible response in response to the court decision on indefinite detention. We've got all these racists coming out of the woodworks. Of the 100 people who were released, or over 100 people were released from detention, 3 have been sent back to detention, and we're seeing, like, the media blow this way out of proportion. We've seen Dutton and co. whipping up racism with their scare campaign, saying people are afraid to go out and eat at restaurants. But we know that many of these people who were deemed with bad character by the immigration minister were sent to detention for years and years indefinitely for mostly non-violent crimes. And one of the people sent back to detention had a bit of weed in their pocket or something. Another was thrown back because they broke their parole, something about their parole. But, you know, there are hundreds of people in Australia that break parole, and we don't see this amount of racism. Like, we don't see this amount of outcry. People just get on with their lives, and they have to go through the court system and, you know, have to deal with it. But, we wanted to just ask you, how should socialists respond to the scapegoating of refugees and migrants whom the racism of the Liberal Party is attempting to paint all as criminals?
Yeah, well, the first thing certainly is to identify the big majority of the establishment media as part of the same. They have their story that they're telling, and we should have ours. Because it's a very different story. The difference is between trying to identify someone who is to be seen as a problem, we're seeing this case to criminalise those people and so on. Whereas in fact, socialists that basically operate from a question of understanding people's human needs and understanding the need for solidarity among those who presently are powerless, but actually are the vast majority of society, workers, the poor, women, all the different movements of those who are seeking to have their rights, and certainly not treating people who just happen to not have citizenship rights in this country as somehow alien, different, and not to be considered as an other, to be kept aside. So, look, to some extent along the lines I was saying before, one of the basic questions is to tell that different story, and then the second thing is to find the ways to come into action alongside others, and the refugee rights movement does actually offer an opportunity for that, to work with refugees and to work with those who are sympathetic to people's human rights, to actually create a movement which actually becomes an effective political force in this country and will help actually change the story about refugees and about race in this country. And obviously one of the biggest issues there, and I should come back, and I want to acknowledge the country I'm speaking from and their elders past and present, but frankly, of course, this is as I mentioned before, is tied up with white Australia and the whole question of the seizing of our country away from our First Nations.
All right, thanks for that, Jonathan. We'll finish up over there. I think that's a good kind of note to kind of end on. But, yeah, thank you very much, Jonathan, for being on our program. And, yeah, I think, I don't have much more to add other than that, but I think it's been a very important kind of discussion.
Thank you. So happy I could talk with you and your listeners.
Thanks, Jonathan.
All right, we're just speaking to Jonathan Strauss, long-time refugee rights campaigner, about the political party's kind of response to the High Court decision that ruled that indefinite detention was unlawful. I'm just going to go play a quick announcement. You're listening to Green Left Radio.